Welcome to the Understanding World Religions podcast with Daniel White III. The purpose of this podcast is to help you become informed about the various religious beliefs that exist in the world today. Daniel White III is the president of Gospel Light Society International and a national best-selling author. He holds a master's degree in religion, a master of divinity degree, and a master of theology degree from Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary. He also holds a bachelor's degree in religion from Texas Wesleyan University. Before we begin, I'd like to inform you of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book that we're using, Understanding World Religions in 15 Minutes a Day by Gary R. Morgan. The book is available on our website for just $20. You can make your purchase today at understandingworldreligionspodcast.com. Now, here's your host, Daniel White III.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Evidence for the Truth of Christianity in Light of World Religions podcast. This is episode 7. This is really a podcast that continues a podcast that we did on world religions as a point of educating people, which was very difficult for me to do because I am an out-and-out Christian person. And so what we're trying to do now is combined that podcast, which still exists, with a focus on Christianity as the only true religion or true faith, and everything else is false. And we're going to operate from the standpoint of proving that Christianity is the only true faith in the world, and that all other religions, so-called, in the world are false. I am your host, Daniel White III, president of Gospel Light Society International. Today's passage of scripture is Ecclesiastes 3:14, which reads, "I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him." Today's quote for this podcast is from Dr. Timothy Keller. He said, "In the Christian view, the ultimate evidence for the existence of God is Jesus Christ. If there is a God, we characters in his play have to hope that he put some information about himself." Dr. Timothy Keller said, "In the Christian view, the ultimate evidence for the existence of God is Jesus Christ. If there is a God, we characters in his play have to hope that he put some information about himself in the play. But Christians believe he did more than give us information. He wrote himself into the play as the main character in history when Jesus was born in a manger and rose from the dead." Our topic for today is titled on C.S. Lewis, Part 7 from the Encyclopedia of Apologetics, on his enduring legacy. Lewis will continue to be influential in the decades ahead. His books sell now more than they ever did in his lifetime, and his influence has never been greater. Anyone seeking to engage the culture apologetically will do well to consider Lewis's ideas and methods carefully. Their relevance has not diminished even with the advent of postmodernism. His works are, if nothing else, more relevant than ever. Today, dear friend, we will continue reading the preface of Mere Christianity, one of the greatest Christian works in history, by Dr. C.S. Lewis. Again, I must say I had the privilege of visiting his office at Oxford as he left it. Some people draw unwarranted conclusions from the fact that I never say more about the Blessed Virgin Mary than is involved in asserting the virgin birth of Christ. But surely my reason for not doing so is obvious. To say more would take me at once into highly controversial regions. And there is no controversy between Christians which needs to be so delicately touched as this. The Roman Catholic beliefs on that subject are held not only with the ordinary fervor that attaches to all sincere religious belief, but very naturally with the peculiar and, as it were, chivalrous sensibility that a man feels when the honor of his mother or his beloved is at stake. It is very difficult so to dissent from them that you will not appear to them a cad as well as a heretic. And contrariwise, the opposed Protestant beliefs on this subject call forth feelings which go down to the very roots of all monotheism whatever. To radical Protestants, it seems that the distinction between creator and creature, however holy, is imperiled, that polytheism is risen again. Hence, it is hard so to dissent from them that you will not appear something worse than a heretic, an idolater, a pagan, if any topic could be relied upon to wreck a book about mere Christianity, if any topic makes utterly unprofitable reading for those who do not yet believe that the Virgin Son is God, surely this is it. Oddly enough, you cannot even conclude from my silence on disputed points, either that I think them important or that I think them unimportant. For this is itself one of the disputed points. One of the things Christians are disagreed about is the importance of their disagreements. When two Christians of different denominations start arguing, it is usually not long before one asks whether such and such a point really matters, and the other replies, "Matter? Why, it's absolutely essential." All this is said simply in order to make clear what kind of book I was trying to write, not in the least to conceal or evade responsibility for my own beliefs. About those, as I said before, there is no secret. To quote Uncle Toby, they are written in the common prayer book. Dear friend, if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live, we will continue reading the preface of Mere Christianity in our next podcast. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the gifts that you give people. And Lord, throughout history, as we look backwards, there are some mountains that we see. Every now and then you'll raise up someone uniquely gifted who can shed light on things like no other. And we thank you for those individuals that you have gifted to make your word plain and to help people to understand your word, particularly and especially those who are not believers. Lord, only you know the number of people who have been saved through the life and, yes, ministry of Dr. C.S. Lewis. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, beloved, in closing, I would like to say that even though we are covering many religious belief systems in this podcast, there is only one way of truly being cleansed of your sins, and only one way that you can be guaranteed an eternal home in heaven with God. That way is through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. If you do not yet believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior yet, may I encourage you to trust him as your Savior today. Here is how. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell without Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, dear friend, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, this is bad news, but let me say quickly, I have some good news for you. His name is Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ himself said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Until next time, my beloved, may God richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Understanding World Religions podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book that we're using, Understanding World Religions in 15 Minutes a Day, by Gary R. Morgan. The book is available on our website for just $20. You can make your purchase today at understandingworldreligionspodcast.com. Please feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a comment about this podcast on iTunes. You can also listen to the Understanding World Religions podcast on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, BlackBerry Podcasts, and via podcasting apps on the Google Play Store and the Amazon App Store.